Father in heaven, I ask in the name of Jesus, a name you always accept, to help me as I deliver this message that I believe you've given to me. I ask you, dear God, to enable me to speak with humility, with clarity, with compassion, with boldness. I ask you also, dear Father, to bless my brothers and sisters. Send your Spirit to enlighten their understanding, dear God, that the message delivered might be understood, grasped, and do its work in people's lives. Please take full control of this part of the day. Take all the glory, Father, but please grant us generous blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us go to Exodus 32. We shall read verse 31 to 33. Exodus 32, reading from verse 31 to 33. We shall read microscopically, very closely. Exodus, what chapter did I say? Reading from what verse? 31. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have done what? Sin, a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sins, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Moses said, If you won't forgive them, destroy me. Verse 33. And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever have sinned against me, my book. Now, God is very specific. The soul that sinneth, finish it for me, it shall die. That's Ezekiel 18, verse 20 and verse 4. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. If you read Ezekiel 18, verse 20, you may go there. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the iniquity or the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Now let's go to Romans chapter 6. Well, you know it very well, verse 23. Without going there, what does it say? For the wages of sin, that's 3:23. For the wages of sin is death. Finish it. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is what?
Death.
Death and what else? What are the wages of sin? Death and what else? Does the verse say that? What does the verse say? Let's go all the way back to Eden. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Genesis 2, 16, 17, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. What's the punishment for sin? Death. And what else? What does the verse say? God said, In the day thou eatest thereof, come on, thou shalt surely die. Ezekiel 18:4, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Death and what else? That's it. Death and nothing else. Are you with me? The wages of sin is death. Case closed. Now, when Christ comes, those who are lost, will they pay for their own sins, yes or no? Yes. Why? Why will they pay for their own sins? How will they do that? How will they do that? They will die. They will pay for their own sins. But will they enter heaven? No. That tells us something immediately. Paying the penalty of sin is not enough. You're not with me. My fault. Think. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. When Christ comes, all the wicked who perish will pay for their own sins. nor having paid for their sins, are they qualified to enter heaven? No. So paying for sins can be done by the sinner. But something else has to be done to get that person into the kingdom. You see why it's important to say, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth. Because he's listening to me, what is he saying? And I hate to keep telling you, think. But repetition is an effective form of teaching if there are any teachers listening to me. There are four gospels, they all talk about the death of Christ. If the penalty for sin were enough, there was no need for Christ to rise. Because he paid the penalty for sin by his death. Then why did he have to rise? Because the paying the penalty for sin only takes care of the penalty. It does not cover admission into God's kingdom. Are you with me? So to be admitted to God's kingdom, two things had to be done. The penalty for sin had to be paid, and a way had to be made for the sinner to enter a place where there is no sin. Jesus did both. When Christ died, he paid the penalty for sin. But he had to rise to make a way for us to enter the kingdom. I'm still not convinced you're with me, and that's okay. When someone says something that might be new, it takes a little while to recover from the concussion, the dizziness. What have you heard me say so far in the past 8 minutes I've been speaking? Well, the Bible says that. I just said what the Bible said. Fine. Anything else I said? Well, I said several things. Come on. Were you listening? Or are you? What else did I say? Something else must be done beside the penalty for sin to get the sinner into the kingdom of God. Something else has to be done. Yes. What else did I say about those who are destroyed when Christ comes? They will pay for their own sins. They can't enter the kingdom. Because to enter the kingdom is not enough just to pay for the sins. Something else has to be done. Go to Romans 5 verse 10. Read a very interesting verse. Romans 5 verse 10. Our subject, what? What's our subject? You need your ginkgo biloba. A high price. All right. What book did I say? Romans, what chapter? 5, what verse? 2 of these. 10. All right. When you're there, say amen. All right. Read with me. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, how? By the death of his son. Stop. That's one act. Much more, being reconciled, keep reading, we shall be saved by his life. So reconciliation is not enough. Are you with me? When Adam and Eve sinned, did they die immediately? Why not? Because of the promised sacrifice. Christ was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Because of that, they were reconciled to God and were not destroyed, but they were not yet saved. Are you with me? They were saved when what happened? Verse 21 of Genesis 3, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. But before God could do that, they had to be reconciled to him that he might do that. So when Eloi says, by his death and resurrection, Christ reconciled the whole world, returned the whole world to favor with God. Yes, the whole world was in favor with God. When Noah was building the ark, he preached for how long? 20 years. Were they wicked people listening to him? Yes. Were they lost? Yes. But they were lost with hope. Are you with me? They were lost with hope as long as the door of the ark was open. When the angel shut that door, they were still lost, but this time without hope. So while the door was open, they were reconciled to God, but not saved. By the death of, you see, in all big cities, there are condemned houses. Are you with me? Condemned buildings? All right. What is a condemned building? Not fit for what? Human habitation. Okay. What should do? Destroy it. When Adam sinned, the world became what? A condemned building. Therefore, it was marked for what? Destruction. Christ came along and did what? He bought it. How? With his blood. For he bought with a price. He bought it with his blood. But when he bought it, was it still in a broken down condition? Yes. But he bought it so that he might do what? Fix it up. But he had to buy it first. Are you following me? The cross of Christ bought the condemned building called the world. When we accept that, then Christ can do the work of repair in our lives. And so the wrecking ball is the penalty for sin, which is what? Death. When Christ bought the world, the wrecking ball was held off. So that Christ may have time to do what? Fix up that house. So that now it becomes what? Fit for divine habitation. When Adam sinned, the blood of Christ acted immediately, and Adam was bought. The world was bought. A condemned house bought. Now Adam had to accept the coat of skin representing the covering of Christ and the transformation of that condemned house to a habitable structure. I say again, the wages of sin, death. Christ went beyond that. He died, paid a penalty, then he rose to make a way for us to enter heaven by applying the merits of his sacrifice. That's why those who teach in the Adventist Church the death of Christ is all that was necessary, they are dead wrong. Are you with me? Because in the sanctuary service, when the animal was slain, the animal represented whom? Christ. But whom did the priest represent? Christ. So the priest represented the resurrected Christ applying his blood. Are you with me? So he died, but he rose to apply the benefits of that death. So he went beyond just paying the penalty for sin. He provided a way to enter the kingdom. Let me point out again a high price. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Who sinned? Adam. And we, his descendants, we sin. So all that was needed was the death of just a man. But Ellen White makes a very fascinating statement in Bible Commentary, Volume 7, page 913, paragraph 2. Justice demanded the suffering of man. Christ rendered the sufferings of a God. In Christ's Triumphant, page 292, paragraph 3, Ellen White writes, our salvation was wrought out by the infinite suffering of the Son of God. His suffering was infinite, which means that Christ overpaid for the cost of our salvation. So that the enemy can never accuse him of cheating him. You've heard of cheating the hangman? You've heard of that? The devil cannot accuse Christ of cheating him out of his lawful prey. Christ paid and overpaid. Remember the Good Samaritan? When he took that wounded man to the inn? He paid for him, and then what did he do?
Yes, mm-hmm. See, this is taken from him. He overpaid just in case.
Christ, using human language as I am now, he overpaid. The wages of sin is death. Here it is. Here's my blood. But I will rise that those for whose penalty I took may enter my kingdom. Now, the justice says a man must die because a man sinned. Jesus Christ was not just man, he was God. He suffered infinitely. No human being could suffer infinitely. Are you with me? What Christ endured in Gethsemane, no human being could endure. Elamite writes, he tasted death for every man. He endured what no human being could endure. He tasted the sufferings of death for every man. And so we have Christ going the extra mile to make sure that no one ought to be lost. It's not necessary for anyone to be lost. Christ has paid and overpaid. In the book Education, page 76, paragraph 3, and I read this statement, I shook my head in disbelief. Listen carefully. Christ came to the world with the accumulated love of eternity. Now, let's define some. What is eternity? Oh, at least it's never ending. We know that. What Ellen White is writing, Christ scooped up all the love in an unending eternity and came to this world with it to die for us. Our High Calling, page 12, paragraph 3. Another mind-boggling statement. God has exhausted his benevolence in pouring out all of heaven to man in one great gift. Only by comprehending the value of this gift can we comprehend infinity. Listen again. God has exhausted his benevolence. What does that mean? When you exhaust something, what have you done? There's nothing left. How can God scoop up all his goodness when he's infinite? We just don't understand what it costs heaven to save us. And it is because many of us do not understand that we respond with a lukewarm relationship with God. Here is God. He exhausts his benevolence and for this sinner, and the sinner is not willing to give up a cigarette for God. Won't give up an earring, toenail polish, for a God who exhausted his benevolence. Because we do not understand the cost. In Ellen White, 1888 Materials, page 569, paragraph 1, she writes, in one great gift, he poured out for man all the treasures of heaven. In other words, when God gave Christ, he had nothing left. Go to Isaiah chapter 5. Listen to how the Bible expresses that. Isaiah 5, let's read verse 4. Our subject, what? High price. High price. That's why soul winning is so important. We're winning souls on whom Christ has placed tremendous value. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 4. Read that for me. What does it say? What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done? God is telling the Israelites, what else am I supposed to do? There is nothing else I can do, says God. Now, human beings, we love options. Are you with me? Many years ago, I worked in the medical school as a counselor. And I would counsel students wanting to go to medical school, students in medical school, I counsel interns, residents, everybody. As students from the main campus would come to me, Mr. Skeeter, I'd like to get into medical school. What do you suggest? And they would apply to 10 medical schools. The first three are the top schools, the middle four, the middle schools, and the last three schools you'll just get in. They're begging for you to come. They had options. God had one option when it came to saving us. And that was to give everything he had. In one great gift, He poured out for man, or for us, all the treasures of heaven in Christ. God has exhausted his benevolence. He exhausted his benevolence when he gave all of heaven to man in one great gift. Education 76, paragraph 3. Christ came to the world with the accumulated love of an eternity. All the love that fills an eternity was sent to us in Jesus Christ. God paid a high price. That's why the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Someone who says no to that kind of love deserves hell. Are you following me? Deserves hell is asking for hell. When you say no to that, to all the goodness in the universe, what else are you turning to? You're turning to pain, suffering, damnation. You have said no to all the goodness in the universe. When you and I, anybody else, says no to Christ. And so John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Let me talk about the high price again. It's 20 after 7. I'll be done shortly. Don't panic. Let's go to John 14. I really want you to think. John 14. We read from verse 12. Not John 14, John 15. Read from 12 to 14 of John 15. John is my second favorite book. I really love that book. Beautiful book. Mm-hmm. If you're starting a memorization program, start in John chapter 14. All right. Do you have John 15? Read from verse 12. Read with me. This is my commandment, that you love one another. How? As I have loved you. By the way, the standards God has for human beings are divine. I appreciate the amen, but did we understand what I said? God does not have human standards for human beings. God has divine standards for human beings. Are you following me? Are you sure? This is my commandment, that you love one another how? As I have loved you. That's a divine standard. Now, read verse 13 for me now. Come on. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man do what? Lay down his life for his friend. I believe I talked about that October 6th. I'll talk about it again. Listen to the verse microscopically. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Listen to 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Now, greater love hath no man than this. Put that in modern English. How can you say that simply in a Temple Hills English? What's it saying? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Put that in simple English. The greatest way you can show love is to give your life. But listen to John 3:16. Say it for me. For God so loved the world that he gave his life. What did he give? The life of his son. But what does the Bible say is the greatest way to show love? Give your life. Then we have to come to one of two conclusions. One, God did not show the greatest love possible because he didn't give his life. Or two, he found a way to give himself when he gave Christ. He was what? Where he was in, yes, listen to me again. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The impression is that God gave someone else's life. But the greatest expression of love is to give your life, not someone else's. Then we must conclude some mysterious way when God gave Christ, finish my words, he gave himself. Christ was the way God found
to give himself.
Listen to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. Well, not just listen, let's read it. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19, you know it quite well. To wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. God was in Christ. What is the foundation of reconciliation? Death. God bless whoever said it. Death. We just read Romans 5:10. For if when we were sinners, were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. The foundation, the basis of reconciliation is death. Now the Bible says God was in Christ doing what? Reconciling the world to himself. Let me speak carefully. What Christ suffered, the Father suffered. Now, divinity cannot die. Are you with me? Let me say it again. I want it recorded. Divinity cannot die. But Jesus tasted death before he died. Are you with me? He tasted the sufferings of death while he was alive. And the Father was in him. What Christ experienced, the Father felt. So as Christ tasted death in Gethsemane while he was alive, the Father suffered with the Son. And so Father and Son tasted death for us, but only the Son actually died. Are you with me? God was, in that sense, God gave his life. He tasted death through the suffering of his Son. So when the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, giving his Son was the method, the means he devised to give himself. It's a high price. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But the one who died was more than just a man, he was the man and God. And Ellen White tells us that Christ rendered the sufferings of a God, even though justice demanding the sufferings of man. So Christ went above and beyond. Paid a high price. We've learned God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. The Father suffered with the Son, so that we have Father and Son involved in the payment. Now go to Hebrews chapter 9, read verse 14. Hebrews 9, verse 14. Hebrews 9:14. Read with me. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, come on, offered himself without spot to God? Now here the Bible says, Christ somehow offered himself, how? Through the eternal Spirit. Let's add something to that. I don't want to put too much on you. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. We read verse 9 and verse 10. And 11. 1 Corinthians 2, 9, 10, and 11. Are you there? Familiar passage, at least verse 9. Read with me. But I, come on, have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man, come on, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us, how? By his Spirit, come on, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Read verse 11 now. Slowly, read it again. For what man knoweth the things save the Spirit of man? Even so, come on, the things of God, Yes. So the Spirit of God knows the things of God. The Spirit of God experiences what God experiences. He understands God's emotions, God's feelings. What I'm trying to say is, what God suffered, the Spirit suffered. What am I saying to you? Father, Son, Holy Ghost suffered to save us. A high price. Only the Son actually died. But the others experienced the suffering of that Son. My brothers and sisters, no wonder Ellen White tells us, throughout eternity, we will be studying the plan of salvation. Gabriel is the highest angel in heaven. His life could not pay the penalty and provide a way into heaven for us. Couldn't do it. His life was not of great enough value. Ellen White says, Gabriel or an angel might be sinless, but the angel's life was of less value than the law and could not atone for our sins. The law needed someone equal with itself, and the law is as sacred as God Himself. And so in some mysterious way, while divinity cannot die, divinity experienced what Christ experienced to save you and me. And Christ would have done that if only one person had gone wrong. Tonight, as we go home, we contemplate how highly God values us. The value of a soul can be measured by Calvary. Are you with me? That includes the wino in Baltimore, the prostitute in D.C. Their value to God, the measuring stick, is Calvary. And that's no joke. And what a person pays for, the person wants. Am I right? Yes or no? You paid for it, you want it. Christ paid for us, He wants all of us. But most of us will deny Him the privilege of saving us. Not because He hasn't done enough, but we just will not allow Him to do in our lives what He desires to do through the merits of His sacrifice. And so my appeal to you and to myself, let us live with the appreciation of the price Christ the Father and the Spirit paid for us. Let not the world so affect our thinking that we lose sight of this tremendous sacrifice. That's all we should see John 3:16 differently. For God so loved the world, and gave Himself His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, God is a God of proportion. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, says the verse, to give every man according, that's proportion, according. But there's something sweet about God that I really like, and I tell Him all the time. Psalm 103, verse 10 says, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Meaning, He's not truly given us what we deserve, we'd all be gone. This is the verse again. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. We never get what we truly deserve. And that's because of Jesus. And Jesus got what He didn't deserve. Are you with me? Here's a sinner. That's why churches who preach eternal hell are just dead wrong. Because God is a God of proportion. A God of proportion cannot punish you for life for eternity when you only sin for 70 years. Are you with me? That's not proportion. But God goes, I don't want to say goes against proportion, when it comes to blessing. Are you with me? God goes way beyond because we have only lived a righteous life, let's say, for what, 4 years. God gives us how long? Eternity. When it comes to punishment, God only punishes just the amount necessary to satisfy justice. When He blesses, God goes overboard. That's a good God. And so God so loved the world. Let me tell you something. If it weren't for the angels holding back the wind of strife, Puerto Rico would have been destroyed completely. Are you with me? Houston would have been drowned completely. The world does not understand God's mercy and love is still protecting this world as much as it can. Holding back the winds of strife. All of that is the result of the sacrifice of Christ, that God can be merciful to an absolutely wicked world.
a few moments tonight. Let me close 7:20 and 32. Reflect on what you've heard. It is in meditation that something happens to us. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, fellowship, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Take time to think of how much God loves you. The price, the cost, the suffering to heaven. Think of the fact that God exhausted his benevolence by sending Christ. Think of the fact that Christ brought the love of an eternity with him. And see what that does to you. And then you will say, Lord, I recommit my life to you. Thank you for your love and your salvation. Bless your hand. Stand with me as we pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord God, for your word brought to us by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord Father, for the tremendous plan of salvation, so deep that even the angels desire to look into it. Father in heaven, help us day by day to contemplate your love. And as we dwell on your love, let it transform us into the image of our Savior. Let us heaven, yes, like a child of the earth. Please, dear God, let us reciprocate your love. By loving you so much, we give up all the world for you, as we give up all of heaven for us. Bless every man in this building, every woman, every boy, every girl, every family. As we leave, even though the sun has set and the holy day has passed, our holiness does not pass. So we're still holy people living in the second of the day. Let us keep this in mind as we do whatever we do tonight. Bring us back tomorrow to hear your word again, I pray. In Jesus' name, let God's people say, Amen and Amen. That's in both Santa. I'll sing them all again to me. Wonderful words of life. Sing them all again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and beauty, beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life, beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us now and forevermore. Let God's people say, Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.